Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you, as we have this pioneering heart, to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We're on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you.
So we all face challenges in life, and some of those challenges might seem massive, but you know, the most important thing we can do is focus on our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we focus on our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, those things sort of become a distant memory. But when we focus on that thing, it becomes a mountain in our life. And the only way to get rid of that mountain in our lives is to focus on Jesus. But we're going to be going through Philippians. We're going to be doing 3:14-21. So today we are carrying on with the letter to the church at Philippi, and the title is Straining Towards the Goal. Amen. So I'm going to read for you Philippians 14:21, and then we'll break it down and we'll go through it like that. So, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me. And keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. There's so much in just that. So much. And we'll break it down into segments and we'll go through it slowly. But I want to encourage you guys that when you are finished taking notes and when you spend a little bit of time with the Lord during your quiet time, go through this again and ask the Holy Spirit to give you understanding in this, because there's just so much in these few verses. And God can speak to us. The Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit shows us. The Holy Spirit brings things out in the Word when we study it and when we build a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Must be very cold.
Amen.
It's like everybody's focusing on making those. I generally do. I sit there and I'm making the notes while I'm listening, and then I get lost halfway. Okay, so we're going to do 15-16, and this is now King James Version. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us be of the same mind. As brothers in Christ and as sisters in Christ, we need to be of the same mind. We need to have that unity. Without that unity comes division. And we need to stand together. And those who are really mature will have this mind. And if they do not, Paul trusted that God would reveal the necessity of having it. We don't have to reveal that to people. God can work in our hearts and in the hearts of those around us to show them that unity is so very important. Paul had great trust in the ability of the Lord to deal with his own people. How often do we want to deal with him? Sometimes we want to grab people and say, "Can't you see it?" But in some instances, we need to trust in the Lord. God uses us to speak to them. God uses us for us to show them in our own walk. But after that, the Lord will work in their hearts. And the Lord will guide them and direct them. We don't have to grab a hold of them and drag them towards what we think is where God wants them. The Lord leads them. And Paul didn't have the attitude that if he failed to convince them, they would never be convinced. How often do we think that we failed when we are trying to show people that this is the way and this is how you need to walk and this is what you need to be doing? And then we go, "Oh, wow, he's me. What about that? Can't they see?" But are we leaving it in the Lord's hands? Because are they not his people? Yes, they are. Yes, they are. And we don't need to see that whole story unfold. But we need to have trust in the Lord that he knows. And he does know what he is doing. And he does know when is the right time. And he does know when is the right aspect and what to show that person at the right time. Maybe they're not ready to be shown certain aspects. And God knows when they are ready. And God knows when to open those things up in their lives. Paul would not allow a lack of understanding to excuse anyone from doing what he did know to be the Lord's will. What we don't know can never excuse us from failing to fulfill what we do know to do. We do know what we need to be doing. We do know that we need to be imitating Christ. We do know that we need to be fishers of men. And we need to be doing those things. There's no excuse in the world that you can put on the table that will excuse you from not imitating Christ and not being out there fishing for men. One day when we stand before the Lord and he asks us, "But why?" We can't go and say like we used to maybe in school, "Oh, the dog ate my homework." There is no excuse. There is none. It's like coming home and sitting down and the first thing you want to do is maybe put on the TV or go on Facebook or look at Instagram or whatever the case might be, instead of spending time with our Lord Jesus Christ. How much do you love him? that instead of spending time on Facebook, Instagram, or watching a TV show, you want to spend time with Him. That you take your family and you sit down at a table and you spend time with our Lord Jesus Christ. How much time do we throw away doing things that, you know what, maybe we could prioritize, rather put that aside and prioritize our time with Jesus? Those who are heavy laden, when we draw near to Him, those burdens and those things, is so much easier to let go. Amen. So, we know that without being of the same mind, it can bring division. And Paul knew that as well. And that's why saying this was a call to unity. And it was a unity of truth against the potential division brought in by those that were of the legalists. Now, the problems of unity facing the Philippians at that time did not spring forth from great problems with carnality, as was the case with the Corinthians, but rather it seemed to be a danger brought on by pressure, both from outside and from inside. And Paul wanted to make sure that this pressure pushed them together rather than driving them apart. Because how often have we seen that these types of things drive people apart rather than bringing them closer, rather than taking the time to focus on our Lord Jesus Christ and to being like-minded and to stand in unity when pressure falls on them? And as the body of Christ, when pressure falls on us, are we drawing near under that pressure, or are we breaking? We're going to move on to Philippians 3:17, and I quite like the ESV version of this, and it's, "Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us." So, Paul knew that he was not a sinless or perfect example. Yet, he was still a good example. He could say, he also did in Corinthians 1, 11, verse 1, "Imitate me as I also imitate Christ." Are we imitating Christ in such a way that when people look at you, they see, yo, maybe that is a good example to follow? And by following your example, it draws them near to Christ. Are you setting an example for those around you that all they see is Christ? Yes, we might not be the best example, but we still need to strive to set that example. Sometimes I even look at myself and I go, but what example am I compared to you? But we don't allow Satan to lie to us. And as we fix our eyes on Jesus and as we imitate Christ, those around us see it. Those around us get affected by it. Because we are showing them a standard of righteousness and we are showing them an example that they can follow. While it is wrong to put our trust in any man, it is hypocritical for us to say, "Do as I say and not as I do." what we say we need to do. Clarice is laughing at me. Did I say something that I haven't done? We need to be imitating Christ. As of late, I've been looking at people I interact with and people that I sort of am friends with inside the cycling community and that. And I've seen a change from when I first entered those groups to now. Not by the fact that they know I go to church, because they don't, but by the fact that they look at the way I carry myself. So it's what they see that has changed the way they, I don't know if they act differently when I'm not there, but when I'm there, you can see a difference in the way they speak, in the way they act. Are we making those differences in people's lives that when they look at your life and they look at you imitating Christ, that they want to change, that they want to better themselves? And in that, they start asking questions. And yes, questions have been asked of late. And then you start to notice that people are trying to find out what makes you different. What makes you this way? I also want to be different. Paul wasn't so proud to think that he was the only one that could set such an example in his group. He noted that the Philippians had us. So as in their group, us as a pattern, instead of saying that Paul was the only pattern imitating Christ, we all here are a pattern imitating Christ. We all here, as we imitate Christ, have an effect on those around us. And you know, even while I'm speaking about it, the Lord just showed me, you take a stone and you skip it across water. What does it do? It makes those rings as it hits the water. And those rings get bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's, every time it touches the water, it's one stone. So for each person here, the influence you have in those around you gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Now, as a group, how big will that circle be? How many lives can this group of people touch and have an effect on? A lot. And then as you have an effect on those people's lives, it's just going to grow and grow and grow. Amen. We need to be that pattern, that as we imitate Christ, people can see. They can see, because by seeing, they know what to hold on to. As we go into Philippians 3, 18 to 19, now we're looking at the bad examples. For many walk of who I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, Paul weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, and whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Paul realized that there are many who walk in a manner contrary to what he taught. He regards these people as enemies of the cross. That's hectic. Enemy of the cross. The enemy of the cross were really the opposite of the legalists, who celebrated their supposed liberty in Christ to the indulgence of their flesh. And Paul had contended with people like this many times. You can see, I'm not going to read it, but you can see 1 Corinthians 6, 12 to 20, and Romans 6. Now, who taught that salvation comes without repentance and conversion, and who taught that as long as your soul was saved, it didn't matter what you did with your body. Do we not see that today? Big time. When we say that men are enemies of the cross, we do not mean that they are enemies of a physical representation of the cross. We mean that they are enemies of the biblical truth of the atonement Jesus made for us on the cross and its ongoing power and effect in our lives. These people did not want to truly follow Jesus by taking up the cross. And we see the example, Matthew 16, 24 to 26. Now, Paul wept because of this. There's not much in the word that speaks about Paul weeping, not even when he was being beaten. And Spurgeon thought that Paul wept for three reasons. First, on account of the guilt of these enemies of the cross of Christ. Second, on account of the ill effects of their conduct. Just as we are an example imitating Christ, they were an example that people thought they could follow. And finally, on account of their doom. Now, the end was destruction. And that could either mean ultimate damnation or to the present destruction of their lives. But it probably was ultimate damnation. And then we see whose God is their belly. That was quite an interesting one, because when you read that, you think about opening the fridge and filling your stomach. But in actual fact, it was that they were necessarily focused. It wasn't that they were necessarily focused on what they ate, but rather, it had a broader reference to their sensual indulgence in general. And they lived for the pleasures of their body, mind, and soul. What are we seeing in the world today? People are so focused on the pleasures of their body, mind, and soul rather than focusing on Jesus. They glorified about things they should have been ashamed about. So things that they should be ashamed about became something that they are proud of. We even see that today. What is wrong is now right, and what is right is now wrong. And they set their mind on earthly things, and their focus of their life was on earthly things. It was not to please and worship God, but to get along in this world. And their attitude was the same as the rich fool in Luke. And that's Luke 12, 16 to 21. You know, when we go through this and we start to understand certain things in the Word, the Holy Spirit starts to open up things to what's happening around us now. Because even though this was many, many, many years ago, it's such a reality today. Philippians 3:20 For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to appreciate all this would have meant to the Philippians, who greatly valued their Roman citizenship. Just as the Philippians could consider themselves citizens of Rome and were under Roman law and customs, even though they were far from Rome, so Christians should consider themselves citizens of heaven. We have our home in heaven, and here on earth we are a colony of heaven citizens. Just as the Roman colonists never forgot that they belonged to Rome, you must never forget that you are a citizen of heaven, and your conduct must match your citizenship. Imitate Christ. And our conduct matches that. If we are citizens of heaven, it means that we are foreigners on earth, aliens on earth. Like they say, it's what an illegal alien, illegal immigrant. But we are foreigners on earth. Foreigners are distinct in whatever foreign land they go, and Christians must be so marked by their heavenly citizenship that they are noticed as different. So that people ask us, what is different? Why are you so different? What makes you different? We also have certain characters as citizens of heaven. As citizens, we are under the government of heaven. As citizens, we share in heaven's honor. As citizens, we have property rights in heaven. And as citizens, we enjoy the pleasures of heaven. As citizens of heaven, we love heaven and feel attached there. And as citizens of heaven, we keep in communication with our native home. We draw near to Jesus Christ. We imitate Jesus Christ. And in that, our Lord Jesus Christ opens doors that people ask you what is different. And when that door is open, when they ask you what is different, you can minister in their lives. You can become that living example for them to follow. And it's not a case of do as I say, do as I do. And they can see that you are doing what you are saying. As the Philippians would eagerly await a visit from the emperor in Rome, even more so should Christians eagerly await the coming of the King, our Lord Jesus Christ. Eagerly await. Now, here's something interesting. Savior was a title given to Caesar in 48 BC, Julius Caesar. Now, Julius Caesar was declared to be the universal savior of mankind of that time. It then became a common title for the ruling Caesar. So, can you imagine when Paul stood out against that because our Savior is our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to worry about Caesar coming to cut our heads off because we are saying our Savior is our Lord Jesus Christ. And the title Lord was applied to the Roman Caesar as well. And it wasn't long after the time of Paul that Christians were martyred for refusing to call Caesar Lord, claiming that Jesus was the only Lord. Was and is the only Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. No one else is worthy of those titles. So you can imagine being in that time, what the Christians of that time had to stand against. Declaring Jesus as Lord and Savior when they knew that Caesar would come after them. Could you say the same today if that was the fact? That you would stand up and say, my Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that gets called Lord, Savior. I mean, if you are faced with that same thing today, that your head might be chopped off because of the fact that you are standing on that, would you still stand on that? Or would you bend your knee to Caesar? We imitate Christ. Not do as I say, do as I do. And then lastly, Philippians 3:21. Who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things. All things. It didn't say some things. All things to himself. And our Savior can do and will do something that no Caesar can. And when we are resurrected, we will have the same type of body that Christ Jesus himself had when he was resurrected. Jesus was not merely resurrected from the dead in the same body. He was resurrected in a new body, patterned after the old, yet equipped and fitted for heaven. Equipped and fitted for heaven. This is possible only because the God we serve is omnipotent. He is able even to subdue all things to himself and accomplish something as amazing as the resurrection of our bodies after the pattern of Jesus. Jesus really can subdue all things. There may be sins within your heart that have long resisted control. Do with them as you will, and they will still defy you. But if you will hand over that conflict to Jesus, he will subdue them. He will bring them under his strong subjecting hand. And be of good cheer. What you cannot do, he can. How often have you had something that pops up in your life and you always try and stay there? No. Here you go, Lord. I cannot in my own strength. And that can apply to anything in our life when we are struggling with life in general. Lord, I cannot. I know you can, but I cannot. Lord, as I focus on you, as I build a relationship with you, as I imitate you, I know, Lord, that you can do all things. Because it is not me, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I want to ask you, in the times that we are facing, we can be so negative about what's going on around us. But what would Jesus do in this time? And are we imitating him in this time? Do as I say, not as I do. Or are we going to do as I do? I am showing you. So that people around us can see Christ within us, especially in this time. Rather than complaining about what's happening around us, we give praise to our Lord Jesus Christ for what we have, for what he's blessed us with, We give thanks always in all circumstances. We imitate Christ. So I want to leave that with you. And let's work towards the goal. Let's focus on our Lord Jesus Christ. And let's allow Him to work in our lives and through our lives for those that are around us, that will change them as well. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.